Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, this week we got more positive news, whatever about the kind of the figures and whatever about the spread, but we did get more positive news on the COVID vaccine front. Pharmaceutical company Moderna announced that they had developed a COVID-19 vaccine with a 95% efficacy rate. Is that the right word for it? Like, I was just going to say, listen to her already. She thinks she owns. Listen, do you want some of my coffee here? I have to pop back
home. I don't.
Okay. Anyway, listen, what are you here to talk about? Because we're not here to talk about that, Afric O'Connell. We're here to talk about celebrity philanthropy. Do you see where I was getting there?
Sorry.
Did I pronounce philanthropy correctly?
You pronounced philanthropy
celebrity?
Correctly. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Afric? Okay, yeah. We're laughing. So listen, basically, lots of people give lots of money for lots of good things. And most of the time, I think, you don't really necessarily hear an awful lot
no,
about
No, you
it.
Don't, actually.
Yeah, but if you do hear about it, Dolly Parton's top of the list, isn't
Unbelievable.
She?
Unbelievable.
What's she done?
So it emerged during the week that the 95% effective vaccine for COVID-19 from Moderna had been part funded by Dolly Parton herself, who gave $1 million towards the development of the vaccine. She's unbelievable, and you kind of underestimate her at your peril, because she came from she describes it this way herself, a shack in the Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and she grew up very poor, but she's been a stalwart, of course, of the country music industry since the late 1960s. She's won 40 awards, she's been nominated for Oscars, and she says that the fact that she's been underestimated her whole life really helps, because people don't expect much of her because of her kind of ultra feminine image.
Right, well, tell me about her effing efficacy.
Okay, so she, a friend of hers, is a doctor who she met when she was in a car accident, and this was at the Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. And he told her that they were having some, when she was in treatment for the car accident, that they were in some making some exciting advancements in the search for a cure or a vaccine for the virus. So they became friends in 2014 after the car accident. So she decided that she was going to put some of her own money, $1 million of her own money, towards the development of the vaccine. And it turns out that it has now a 95% effectiveness rate. And, well, look, we'll see what happens.
She can't
but
be making as much money as usual, because Dollywood must be closed, is it?
I think Dollywood is closed, but she has a special coming up on Netflix as well, and which is huge money, of course, for her. But she's 74. She also supported a convalescent plasma study at Vanderbilt as well, which is people for treating infected people with the plasma of other people who are carrying antibodies against the virus. This isn't the only thing she's put her money towards over the last couple of years. She has a setup called the Imagination Library, which gifts free books to children from birth until starting school, so around 5 years old. And kids in Talla in Dublin receive books from the Imagination Library. And she gave away her 100 millionth book in August, which is unbelievable. So she was on Oprah Winfrey recently, and she said she's never had kids because she believes that God didn't mean for her to have kids, so everybody's kids could be hers. That's the way she thinks about it. So she could do stuff for, like, the Imagination Library.
Wow, we're off to a flying start. We're talking celebrity philanthropy here.
Yes.
Because is she top of the list, Dolly?
She would be close. I mean, it kind of, you don't hear much about it. Kind of, people started looking into her philanthropy after the news came out that she had part funded the vaccine, so people got more interested. But she has this Imagination Library, which has done amazing work, and she is very philanthropic. She's not, look, I in terms of actual money given, I don't know how far up the list she is, but it's a pretty important one, in fairness.
Okay, and like, it does go right back to like 100 years of all these kind of things, and
yeah,
right back to the beginning of pop and rock. But let's just stay kind of with in the last 20 or 30 years or so. So who else do we go with then? I mean, like, just before we do, do you think, obviously they do it for the right reasons, but you know, some people would say they're cynical and say they do it for the profile, but like, most of the ones you're talking about, I presume it's going to be just very damn good.
I think the difference is you know, a lot of celebrities, and you'd see it a lot, it would attach themselves to causes and like to give money away. It's no harm for a profile, you know, and a kind of a better public image to have that kind of good work attached
to your
profile.
Yeah, but also
a
profile of what they give it to as well.
But this is it.
That
exactly.
gets raised.
Absolutely, yeah. because you have followers as well and you know, it raises awareness and all that kind of stuff. But this is more than just kind of thoughts and prayers stuff. This is actual hard money going in, you know, two places from people who have it to give. Mm. And the thing is, yes, it does a lot of good, but where you see it actually manifest, I suppose, is when the cause is close to the actual celebrity's heart. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you have people like Bruno Mars. So in 2014, he there was a water source in Flint in Michigan in the US. It was moved from Lake Huron to the Flint River, and locals around that time started to raise alarms about possible lead poisoning. So there was no testing for children mandatory in Michigan. So the levels weren't picked up until kind of scientists started breaking ranks and published their findings. So Barack Obama declared a crisis in Flint in 2016. And Bruno Mars donated $1 million of his profits from an Auburn Hills, Michigan show on his 24K Magic Tour to the cause, because he did the show in that in that particular place in Michigan and felt that it was right for him to give back this money to the community in order for them to fund the testing.
You know, Michael Moore and Roger and Me, and he started up there.
Exactly.
Well, Michael Moore made Fahrenheit 9/11, but he also made Fahrenheit 11/9,
which I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's very good, actually. Yeah. Well, I think it's very good. Obviously, it's one-sided if that's your problem. But anyway, it's a very, like, you can't let Trump be elected, and this was pre-16.
Yeah.
But it goes into the water thing in Flint, Michigan. It is bizarre.
He's
the story.
Always been a massive advocate.
Yeah, and Barack Obama comes up and visits the place and does not do himself any favours. The scenes in there, oh my God, what's he up to?
Absolutely. But Bruno Mars said at the time, he says, ongoing challenges remain years later for Flint residents, and it's important that we don't forget our brothers and sisters affected by the disaster. As people, especially as Americans, we need to stand together to make sure something like this never happens in any community ever again. Mm. So that kind of, that brought a lot of awareness to a subject which, maybe if you're not from Flint, Michigan, it doesn't directly affect you.
Yeah.
You know, people
it's completely
might hear as much.
Criminal carry on by elected officials. Okay, let's go for somebody else. Where are you going next?
Chance the Rapper,
where's
from
he?
Chicago, okay. And is very, very fond of Chicago and a keen defender of Chicago as well. He actually took on Spike Lee. Spike Lee's film Chi-Raq, he said that some of the representations of and portrayal of Chicago rang false to Chance, so he kind of took him to task a bit on that. But it goes much deeper than that. So the schools in Chicago are suffering a massive funding crisis. Some of them have been forced to end their terms early. So Chance the Rapper demanded a meeting with the state governor to discuss school funding, but the chat did not go very well, and he was inspired to take things into his own hands. He said, the governor gave me a lot of vague answers in our meeting, and he announced at that, in novelty check form, by the way, which we all love, we love a giant novelty check, he was donating $1 million directly to Chicago schools, which he challenged then local businesses to follow his lead, kind of give as much as they could.
After a celebrity dies, it often happens that you find out things that you didn't know about them. Tell me about Prince and what emerged after he died.
Yeah, so after Prince died, it turned out that he was doing a lot of quiet, kind of behind the scenes charity work, and those stories started to come out. Reverend Al Sharpton went on Twitter and said he was a sincere humanitarian, and told his followers about how Prince would give him money to give quietly to people like the family of Trayvon Martin. He also donated $250,000 to solar power startups and other families, struggling families in South Carolina. And also he went another $250,000 to a dance academy in New York. So it was an entire $1 million as well went to a Harlem-based non-profit organization for inner city children. And that kind of only started to come out after he had passed away, you know, these kind of good stories.
What about another guy who passed away? But let's come over this part of the world. George Michael.
Yeah, this was kind of sweet as well. So the full extent of what he had done sort of came out after he died. Now, we all know about his contributions to Band Aid and Live Aid and Comic Relief, but he kept other donations out of the press fairly deliberately. So he donated £2 million to a counselling service for children and young people. Esther Ranson said that it was he was one of their biggest donors to Childline. He also saw someone on a woman on Deal or No Deal who needed $9,000 for IVF treatment. Really? And he gave that money directly, as it turned out. So he gave lump sums as well, cancer and HIV charities, and he volunteered quietly at a homeless shelter. He donated the proceeds from his Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me tour with Elton John to charities, for centres for people affected with HIV and AIDS, and a trust which helps the families of terminally ill children as well. And he purchased the piano on which John Lennon wrote Imagine for $1.45 million and gave it to Liverpool's Beatles Story Museum.
Yeah, I remember reading about that one. All right. Now, yeah. Taylor Swift has been in the news for all the wrong reasons this week because her music has been officially stolen and sold for a fortune. She's getting none of it.
And
so what about her?
She's re-recording, she's going to re-record her masters. Yeah. So she... Taylor is well known to kind of reach out to fans directly and stuff like that, send them little gifts and all that kind of thing, bring them on tour, bring them to you know, parties and stuff like that. But in August 2016, 13 people died and 146,000 homes were destroyed in the worst flooding ever seen in Louisiana. And so Taylor Swift began her 1989 tour in the state, and she went fairly quickly to donate $1 million directly to those affected by the flood and a further $50,000 to a food bank in Baton Rouge. So in the same year as well, she donated $100,000 to those affected by Tennessee wildfires, $5,000 to a fan who'd lost her sister in a car accident, and an undisclosed amount to an African Parks charity on World Elephant Day. So she's not. She has a wide range of philanthropic interests. She gave $50,000 to a fan who was suffering from leukemia, who had been unable to attend one of her gigs. So she's very direct. She's very involved with her fans. She used to communicate with her. I'm not sure how much she still does, but she used to communicate with her fans all the time on her Tumblr. And she used to, you know, be very involved directly with people and was very kind of aware of what people needed as well.
And Rihanna knows how to spread the money, doesn't she?
Rihanna is a philanthropist. Like, when she hit it, basically from the time she hit it big, she has been kind of trying to spread the wealth. So she set up the Clara Lionel Foundation. She started it in 2012 in tribute to her grandparents. It funds education and healthcare programs in poor communities around the world. And so it's all about providing opportunity to kids. And one of her most recent campaigns is a 5-year initiative donating bicycles to Malawian schoolgirls to keep them safe from dangers of walking long distances on the road and to reduce the school dropout rates as well. She hosts the Diamond Ball every year, with a huge guest list of everyone you can think of, basically, to support the foundation. She uses the thing that people really like about her is that she uses her platform as well as her money to kind of pressure people into doing the right thing. So in 2018, she tweeted a string of stuff addressing world leaders from Britain and France and Australia and Norway in the lead up to the International Education Conference in Senegal, which was part of the Global Partnership for Education. That ended up raising over $2 billion for that project. Her pressure was a huge part of that, because I suppose those leaders were put under the sort of spotlight of Rihanna tweeting them and not wanting to be seen to not do, I suppose, the right thing or whatever. That was a huge thing.
And she probably has the old 100 million followers or something,
doesn't she? Oh, she does, of course. Her Instagram account is enormous, her Twitter account is enormous.
As I said earlier, like, there are loads of people who do all this kind of thing, and probably top of the list is you too.
Of course.
But I mean, you don't hear about 99 of the 100 things they do.
That's it, exactly.
So basically, like, she got the 2 billion over the top because of who she was.
She got 2 billion over the top, and then 7 hours after Rihanna's tweet, her tweet to Australian foreign Prime Minister Julie Bishop, she released a statement promising a donation of $90 million to the Global Partnership for Education. So that's the power of it. If you decide that that's what, you know, all you have to do is decide, I suppose, if you have that kind of money, that that's what you're going to do.
All right, we're talking,
you know,
celebrity philanthropy here with Afric O'Connell, and just give us about three or four more.
I will. So Dr. Dre, of course, is from Compton in South Central LA, and he is very fond of the city. He got a start with NWA there, and in June of this year, he gave $10 million directly towards the building of a performing arts centre at the new Compton High School. So he told the LA Times as well, "My goal is to provide kids with the kind of tools and learning they deserve." So he's got form in this whole area as well. In 2013, he and Jimmy Levine donated $70 million to create an academy for arts.
It's my turn to correct you now. Jimmy Iovine.
Iovine, sorry.
Yes.
Oh my God. You got it back. Fair dues to you. Yeah, no, this is this shows how much I'm able to read capitals and not capitals. But yeah, so Dr. Dre, it's great. In those situations, when Dr. Dre obviously came from South Central Los Angeles, there was a massive gang problem in South Central Los Angeles. He came out of there. He got his, you know, his huge career from always referring back to Compton and in all of his songs and all this kind of thing. And the more successful he has got, the more he has wanted to give back
straight out
to his roots. Exactly, yeah. Dave. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Have you not got Beyonce in there somewhere?
I do have Beyonce, yeah.
Tell us about Beyonce. Okay. What's she done?
Right. Beyonce at the end. So she's worked with hundreds of charities and foundations since 2002. So she founded the Knowles Rowland Centre for Youth in Houston with Kelly Rowland, who was also a member of Destiny's Child with her and her mother as well, Tina Knowles. She launched the Survivor Foundation, which was also the name of one of Destiny's Child's songs.
It was.
It was an organization that helped the victims of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, which was devastating. So she donated an initial $250,000, but Beyonce also donated then $7 million for maintenance and upkeep as it went on to the Knowles Temenos Place Apartments, which is a housing shelter that can accommodate up to 43 displaced and homeless people. Listen, she's all over the place. She's doing she's activism, I suppose, in her last maybe two albums has come out more in her last two albums than it has over her career. She's kind of coming into her own. And so in June of this year, she was honoured with the Humanitarian Award at the 2020 BET Awards.
Yes, what do you call it? Michelle gave it to her.
Exactly.
I saw that, yeah.
Exactly. So Michelle Obama gave it to her. And in her speech, she talked about Black Lives Matter, which was, of course, you know, really came to a head this year after the death of George Floyd in May. And so this was in June. So she said on the stage in her speech, "I'm encouraging you to take action, continue to change and dismantle a racist and unequal system. We have to vote like our life depends on it, because it does." Beyonce 15 years ago would never have said anything like that. But she is, she's, you know, confident in herself. She's enough albums behind her, she's enough fan power behind her that she knows she can.
And who have you given your money to, Afric? Okay, that's an answer.
Dog's trust.
Fair play. Afric O'Connell, thanks a million for coming in and telling us about celebrity philanthropy.
You are welcome.
Aren't they fab?
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.